It's the Aristocrats with Derek.
I hope you rock a burnt onion. That's why we're here, asshole.
Matt.
I got shit stains in my socks.
Yeah.
Steve.
The McRib only comes out after, like, human disasters.
And Kevin.
You may be living on prayer, but I'm living in a hotel because my house is half gone.
I like these calm little moments before the storm. It reminds me of Beethoven.
All right, let's shoot this fucker.
All systems go.
Guys,
yo, I'm not racist. I got four black tires and a color TV.
See, aristocrats.com is the website. CWERadio.com. We stream live every Sunday. You can listen to our Monday and Thursday shows live if you don't want to wait. If you like waiting, wait.
If they like waiting, where do they go? Well, they've been waiting because Matt's been taking a shit for 20 minutes.
What do we do till then?
Oh. I'm Derek. With me as always is Matthew.
He's in the shitter.
Take a big
plop. He's big. I wonder if he wipes with his hair.
He's got long hair.
Kevin.
Hey, well.
Steve.
Yeah.
Did you almost puke?
No, I spit beer all over the place.
Oh, good. As long as there's only beer.
He popped himself so good. And he spit beer everywhere.
Back again for the Thursday show, Jeff Cannibal.
908-499-2083. Call us up. We got bitches and chains.
Yeah.
Spinners.
Nice shirt.
Yeah, changed.
Oh, wait. I forgot to change. Hold on.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Between Monday and Thursday, I usually don't change anyway.
You know what? Don't change a thing.
Kev, get in
your
underwear.
Perfect the way you are.
Oh, you guys.
Kev, get in your underwear.
You think so?
You think
that make me more poignant?
We should all do it. Let's get in your underwear.
The Thursday night underwear show.
Hey, Matt. Yo, come out in your underwear.
Why? Why'd you have to turn the microphone off for that?
Well, I don't want
to
yell.
So pull it away from you.
Yeah. Hey, Matt.
There you go.
Yo, come out in your underwear.
Fair warning, there's probably going to be a lot of wrestling talk.
Probably a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we did all wrestle on Saturday, including Cannonball.
Including me.
The hardcore
Cannonball.
How'd your match go, Cannonball?
It was awful.
What?
Thanks for bringing it up.
Wait, what? It was great.
I remember you being front row for that one.
I was.
So you don't even have to ask.
We actually were your...
My valet.
We were your posse. Entourage.
My posse.
We were your posse.
I don't think you were announced. I think you just came out with...
Which me. The best part about your match was that Kev was commentating.
You know what I liked about your match is that Jimmy Storm made it special.
He did. He made it very special.
Yeah.
On the fly. He called it on the fly.
He did.
David versus Goliath.
Yeah. One reason why I think that the people involved in the match should not try to get creative about a match that is coming on. I hated it when Dapper did it. And I don't like what...
Fuck that motherfucker.
Well, if it was Dapper, it would have been about three times longer of an introduction signed, sealed, and delivered. And
I'm so sick of that fucker.
Speaking of introductions, I think one of the biggest problems with the show on Saturday is that it took like an hour to get the show started.
Dude, yeah. I was tired of the hour of fucking the sound guy complaining.
Oh, God.
First of all, the sound is horrible.
All right, listen. The show's supposed to start at 7:35.
Yes.
They always push it back 10 minutes
because the crowd's filling it.
Yeah.
Whether they are or aren't. Okay? So 7:45. This show started a goddamn probably 8:15. When did the show start? Were you there when the show started? I remember you telling me that you weren't going to get there until the second match. I'm sure you were there for the Star Spangled Banner.
Absolutely.
Ridiculous.
I was there for from the beginning of the show.
Do you want to know what was going on?
Whoa, Matt,
what are you guys talking about?
with us, as always, is Matt.
There's Matt, as always.
And Matt dragged the smell of shit out with him.
I just took a big shit. So listen,
hold on, let me get
Monday.
The show here.
Okay, Steve's on. All right. Okay.
Now, while you're saying to me, while you're texting, I don't know if I can make it to the second match. Doc was still in the back telling, he was asking, what music should I play to start the show? What's that song he plays for the start?
I'm a fucking asshole.
I'm coming up and I'm gonna.
Oh, let's get this party started.
All that music is horrendous.
Yeah.
At some point, somebody turns to me and they're like, "Is he playing Taylor Swift? Why is there a Taylor Swift song?"
Did he just get broken up?
Well,
what's going on?
He's in the locker room. Okay. Well, first off, the sound guy should not be in the locker room at this point.
The sound guy should. There's no reason the sound guy should ever be in the locker room.
He shouldn't be anywhere.
Nope.
So.
He shouldn't be on the show.
He's saying, okay. Basically, the guys running the show were J.D. Smoothie.
Great guy.
And Jimmy Storr, okay, who was ring announcing. And all they were saying to this sound guy, known as Doc, they're saying, Doc, just play to let this get this party started. And he's saying, no, I want to play Gangnam Style first, then let's get this party started.
See, here's
and
the
then
problem.
We're already
a half hour late.
Here's
and they
the
said,
disconnect.
Doc, you made a soundboard out of a DeLorean?
Wow. here's the disconnect with Doc, is that he plays things that are popular right now. But the problem is, with most wrestling fans, what's popular right now is not what they want to listen to.
No, they want
to
hear Cult of Personality.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. He should be playing, like, anything but what he plays.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
He you might as well just pop on like Light FM.
What was the music? Yeah. What was the music?
No, Z100
from WWE.
No, not even Z100.
Jim Johnston.
He should be playing Jim Johnston mixed music.
If he played Z100, that would even up the pace of what he's playing.
92.3.
I don't want to skip the whole show, but at the end, he was playing something that literally did sound like Light FM.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
It was bothersome.
It was fucking terrible.
Multiple I got some people. Celine Dion for you guys.
But I gotta say, for at least 10 minutes, they're saying, no, just play Let's Get This Party Started, and let's get this fucking party started. And he's like, nope, Gangnam Style.
Gotta play Gangnam Style.
He wouldn't give the fuck up.
And the thing is, like, they give guys power that shouldn't have power. Mm-hmm. This guy thinks that he is a piece of the show.
Yeah.
And you're not.
No.
You
could be replaced with an iPod.
Somebody could just set up a playlist on your laptop. And like, there's no reason for you to be there.
He makes it a big deal.
Literally, Matt can buy a laptop tomorrow and set up everyone's music and have a whole entire show done.
I could do it off my BlackBerry. Like, I literally could do it off my BlackBerry and just connect the headphone out to a speaker system. Yeah. And it would be better than him.
All right, guys, hit the lights. You ready? All right.
All right, guys, get home safe.
I want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. Drive home safe.
I'm going to give out the address to every local business and the phone numbers, like you're going to write it down or something.
My fault.
Well, no, the local business thing is what got me is and of course they're sponsors to the show.
Whoa.
They buy ad space on the posters. They do what they got to do to help the show. The show opened up with the MC of the night listing every single sponsor
and
giving every detail of them. Which is okay, I guess. If you can just run through it real quick, go ahead and run through it. You don't need to throw everything out. And you're probably better off just, if you're going to do that, do it during intermission when people are wandering around and it's not going to stretch out the length of the show.
Or do two or three in the beginning and two or three during intermission.
No, here's what you could do. It's just, I'm going to steal this from, from Force One Wrestling. They actually have a purpose to doing this, but if you have so many sponsors, you do one before each match.
That's good.
The next match is sponsored by, and
that's great.
Drop their plug.
Yeah.
Before each match, it breaks it up a little bit, and people are paying attention a little bit more to one thing at a time than six or seven. You're never going to remember that shit. True.
Okay.
You know? That is a good idea.
But they ran through all the sponsors.
Horrendous.
Then the owner of the company comes out and does an entire promo about, you know, welcoming everyone to the show, trying to hype up the crowd and get everyone going. The problem, and I'm okay with that. Problem is that they knew that the show was supposed to start with the promo of Nicky Ocean's his retirement.
So now the show has already started.
So you essentially just did
a promo, back-to-back promos.
Well, three back-to-back.
Triple play.
Really, really long segments of people talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not Raw.
This is not TNA.
And you can even say four if you want to include the one you guys did.
Wow.
Well, the one we did was a part of the...
It just made it long. I'm
it was still...
Was long.
Well,
I mean,
it extended
if you know you're opening the show mm-hmm. with somebody talking, and it's a significant part of the show, you don't need everyone else talking before that happens.
Especially about, like, Kingsburg Pharmacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although they have been a ticket outlet for decades.
Yeah, but, like, someone's going to turn to their wife and say, honey, we should go there for our drugs.
Oh, did you know there was a pharmacy?
I mean, we live in Keyport.
I've been going to Eckerd for
Are they part of the Good Neighbor Network? Do they take my insurance?
Yeah.
Let's ask the man with the yellow shirt.
By the way, this was Nicky Ocean's retirement show.
It really was.
Apparently.
It was. Yeah.
Real quick, something I heard you guys talking about during the break when I was taking a shit.
Okay.
Was about veganism and helping you lose weight. Most vegetarians I know typically are not, like, in good shape.
They're usually very doughy.
You could do it the right way or you could do it the wrong way.
They don't supplement the protein.
Yeah, and a lot of times, obviously, I do it the wrong way by eating a shit ton of carbs and whatever
Well,
else.
I do both. I eat a lot of protein and carbs.
I did do well for a while, and I lost a lot of weight, and then I stopped doing well, and I gained about half that weight back.
I'm saying in general, though.
Sure.
Most of the time, most of
the
people
who are... You have to actually look into what you're doing.
Yeah. I also got to point out, the Brontosaurus wasn't exactly svelte. And the Brontosaurus ate a whole lot of leaves. A lot of them.
You know, cows eat grass.
So there was a wrestling show yesterday.
They do.
So we open the show with Sean, Nicky Oceans. He comes out. He announces his retirement.
He's whining and shit.
And he calls out myself and Steven.
Sure.
Me.
As two of his closest friends in wrestling. Two people he helped out a lot. And
wait, that wouldn't be here. If not for him.
Not for him.
Thank you. No. Go ahead.
Oh, he said that on this show previously.
That's awesome.
Yes.
So I get on the microphone first. I do the whole deal where I talk about him being one of my best friends, which is true. And everything I said was all honest.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, bullshit. But anyway.
Well, no. I mean, I know. It was for real. But the crowd was like... giving us boring jams and stuff.
Wiener. He was giving boring jams the whole night.
No, wiener.
There was a couple. Hold on.
Shut up,
but,
you wiener.
But I can. I at this point, like, I get it because they just sat through like a half hour of people just talking
And a half hour of fucking stupid music.
But but we brought him right back into it because at the end of the promo, we turned on Sean. And I hit him with the megaphone, and the crowd erupted.
And then Kevin camel clutched him.
Yeah. But guess what? Guess what? The guy playing the music was like, "You guys shouldn't have done that."
Yeah,
you guys shouldn't have done
that. He came in the back during the first match.
Got in my face.
Wait a minute. Wait.
What?
The guy
who played Taylor Swift,
the music
to start the fucking
told
show.
Told you that your psychology was off.
Yes. The guy who has to hit the play button on Windows fucking media for that every
weekend.
I've
always hated this guy. I'm
gets
being
in
honest.
My face and tells me, well, if you're gonna do that, you should just went right to the match.
Wow.
And I'm trying to tell him,
aren't you like the last
you
match?
Leave the dude in a hump in the middle of the ring.
I'm like,
and now people want to see him.
I'm like,
the crowd's
not going anywhere.
Yeah. Wow.
It's not like they saw that and they're like, all right, well, they didn't
show's
fight,
over.
So I guess we need to go home.
I gotta admit, I was like. I was in street gear for that beginning promo, and then I was just switching to my knee pads and stuff, like slowly getting myself ready for my match, but trying to stay in, because we had to come out again for another schmoz. But I looked over at Kev, and he legit was pissed off.
I'm getting heated.
I'm pissed off
right now. The fucking guy who his only job in the place is to hit the play button.
And once in a while, hit the stop button.
On the Windows fucking like music player.
And he probably gets paid more than we do.
No.
Is telling
he's a
me, you guys didn't do that. You shouldn't have done that. Why did that? You shouldn't have done that.
I've seen
he
a lot of wrestling matches.
He said, "Well, we
from
did,
this
should
table.
Have set up the main event and not our match."
What?
No, he was saying that we should have went right into a match from there.
And bullshit. No,
didn't JD set up the main event for his match?
Yeah.
So why would you guys set up the main event for his match?
No. He was just saying what we did was worthless.
Oh, okay.
Basically, that's what he was saying, correct?
I must say that, Steve, you blew a pretty good snot rocket
Awesome.
At the bleachers. And I know you didn't see me, but I was there.
Was that the side you
he
were on?
There, yes. And he was gagging.
Okay, all right. So you're on the opposite side.
You were like,
that
I'm
going to
catch it.
Off.
I'm
okay.
going to catch it.
Yeah.
You didn't know what that was?
I got a snot rocket.
That wasn't a snot rocket, by the way.
What was
I
it?
Know. It was just spit or
that
something.
Was gum.
Gum, was it?
Yeah.
I just saw you do the thumb to the nose, and I knew you didn't actually blow a snot rocket, because that would be pretty impossible to do.
No, I've seen him do some pretty nasty ones.
Yeah. That would be mm-hmm. impressive, yeah. by the way.
So I'll get to the real meat and potatoes. Here
we go.
We do a second in-ring promo, which sets up our match, which is me and Steve against Danny D'Amato and Nicky Oceans. And somewhere in between, Danny D'Amato informs me that our former boss, things were a little weird, you know? They met up with him, and another person involved in the situation.
Hold on. Which situation?
Yeah, I know the story, and I just got really confused.
Yeah,
okay,
so okay. You got to explain okay, it okay. as if
let's,
nobody
let's,
knows
let's,
what you're
let's
about.
Backtrack a little bit.
Yeah.
Joe Panzerino, Dapper mm-hmm. Johnny Falco, used to run what we've been doing.
Yeah.
Under NWS.
Under
NWS. PWS banner.
Yes. It's now in the possession. It's being run by FWF.
JD Smoothie.
It is as if FWF has come to take over the locations
yes.
of this other wrestling company
yes.
with all the same exact wrestlers.
Yes. And the transition is still in the process of JD taking over everything and running the buildings and getting everything. So but it's JD running every show. He's telling us what the matches are, he's giving us what we need to do. But they're
hang
they're,
on a second, slow down for a second. I'm getting responses that the audio is off.
Which audio?
I don't know.
And how long ago? Because
there
got was
the text now.
There was issues that the audio was off on the Ustream, but I fixed it. And they said it was okay. I don't know if it's any different now, but I don't know. Oh, CWE feed drop, but it's back.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, okay. So Dapper Johnny is somewhat of a consultant of sorts.
Oh, I think he's a con artist of sorts.
Silent
well,
partner.
Yeah, that's true too.
silent partner is the proper terminology for what he does.
Yeah. For a certain term of time, and then there's like a no compete situation where he has to leave and he can't be involved in wrestling in the area for X amount of time.
The grace period.
Yeah. Well, he had informed somebody involved that Steve and I were not worthy of being in the last match for Nicky Oceans.
Oh. Wait a minute. So I was involved in this?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. I thought it was strictly you.
That
so Dapper's
that
you guys shouldn't have retired, Sean.
We're worthless. That I'm an ungrateful cocksucker.
Okay.
So on and so on.
Wow.
And essentially,
what's the problem?
Essentially saying that.
Hang on one second.
We're not good enough to be a part of it.
Who did he want?
Hang on one second. Let me tell you something. I was on a scale of 1 to 10, already at a 9. When I thought it was just you. Now I'm severely pissed off.
He's at 11.
Yeah, I'm over the 10 mark.
This anger goes to 11.
I'm very angry right now, too, because Steve was so dedicated to stupid crap that Dapper threw at him for like 2 years.
More than that.
3 years.
And you got your fair share.
And even in the NWA Carluzzo days with Dapper.
Exactly. This goes back almost 15 years of just bullshit. That
I'm so pissed. I almost destroyed something in here. And it's not even my place.
Yeah.
Please don't.
Now, to further this, Kevin has been ultimately dedicated to NWS for at least the last 5 or 6 years.
I said to somebody earlier, I've sabotaged my own wrestling career to an extent.
Yes.
Just to stay loyal.
Yes.
To this asshole.
See, the thing with Dapper is he ran so many shows and kept regular work for people.
Yeah.
That it was easy to stay loyal.
Sure. Because you always had work. There was always a show you could go to every single weekend. Even if you weren't booked, he knows who you are. You work for him. You still had something you could possibly get work.
Fuck him.
But I just want to say that Kev's face is beat red.
Well, he's mad.
He is fucking
He's looking
steaming.
Like Santa right now.
Well, he is.
Who did Dapper want Sean to?
Chill Will. What?
The guy you wrestled.
No, you're kidding.
The guy you wrestled was supposed to be Sean's last match.
All right. I got to admit, Dapper.
Wait, really?
Has zero.
That's no joke.
Zero.
That was more.
Zero wrestling intelligence.
Jesus Christ.
Not at all.
At all.
Dapper legitimately books, he would write out, and we've all wrestled for him except for Derek. We've seen these long, elaborate, stupid scripts, which legitimately he's booked shit into matches that happened in Abbott and Costello movies.
No joke.
And he would say it to, he would explain it. And
I thought it was funny in Abbott and Costello, so I want you guys to do it tonight.
Yeah.
That's no joke. I want you to say who's on first, and then you're going to be versus the Wolfman.
Might as well. Mm-hmm. Because, that's the shit. And then when it wouldn't get over and he would crack up, he'd think it was great. But the crowd, it was so over the crowd's head that it was terrible.
I want to go back to this not worthy thing.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, this is Sean's retirement. This is not Dapper's retirement. Sean gets to pick.
It should be his
who
choice.
Retires him. That's the bottom line.
It
and
should
Sean,
be his choice, and it wasn't a choice for Sean.
Well,
Sean knew
gets to pick.
JD, let it be more of Sean's choice.
Yes.
But if it was up to Dapper, it would have been Chill Will, and not a knock on Chill Will.
No, he's a circumstantial
nice kid. He's
part
he's
of
trying,
this.
You know. It's
not to knock him. He's trying.
It's not.
He's a young kid.
That's
he's
not,
a young kid.
That's not the point.
He's like a young Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
If anything.
That would be like if, let's say Metallica was going to play their last show.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
And they're like, all right, well, we're going to have you do, because, Nicky Ocean's been wrestling like Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
On and off for the past couple months.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is
and
like
then they're like, all right, you're going to play stadium. And then for your very last show ever,
Anna Montana.
We're gonna have you play the St. Catharines Fair.
Yeah.
Or like
and Hanson's gonna
or
open
like
for
the Internet Cafe in Red Bank.
Yeah.
Like that's where you guys are gonna retire.
I wish that place was still open.
Me too.
Now, just so you know, everyone listening, if you don't know, this is the guy that was run out of the company,
out of the state,
out of the business
by the state.
Yeah. By another company, and their talent for exposing him for tax evasion
fraud.
And all that other bullshit.
Allegedly.
This is
allegedly.
All allegations.
Alleged lie.
But here's the thing.
The story, as it allegedly goes, is he's been collecting disability.
He has been
from the government.
I know he has been,
and he hasn't been paying his taxes on his shows.
Well, good thing he's in the middle of the ring with a microphone every time. Yeah.
That was fine when there wasn't two documentaries showing him identifying himself as the owner of the company
on national television.
And showing him
Netflix.
And showing him collecting money from the company.
Yeah.
Which you could still
stiffing you guys.
With the taxes to a point you can almost get away. But if you're getting disability and you're showing somewhere that you have a source of income, you're kind of fucked.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has to be in someone else's name or something in order to just get away with it. But when you are actually incriminated on television, all they have to do is just bring that tape to the authorities and this guy is on disability.
And
watch this video.
From what I've been told, he was a bus driver. And he was collecting disability because he couldn't work as a bus driver.
Yeah.
But in these documentaries, it's showing him driving town to town, hanging flyers.
Hang on.
The arm.
The bus driver door.
Yep.
It's tough.
But that's tough.
He claims
back injury.
Yes. So back. Another thing I want to get back again to this you guys aren't worth it thing. If it was his show, and if he was booking it, and he said, look, this is my company, it's my show, I'm going to tell you who's going to book, I would have called the guy who trained him and helped him get in the business, which was a guy we know by the name of Antonio, to come work him and retire him. If I was just going to be an asshole and say, this is my show, I want to book it right, and that's it. If you want to go retire against your friend somewhere else.
I don't know how Nicky Oceans would feel about that, but I bet you Nicky Oceans would rather work Antonio over Chill Will. No offense
precisely.
To Chill Will.
No. Precisely what the point I'm
getting
at.
Because it makes more sense.
Exactly. And I also talked to Sean. He said, and I think it was Sean. Said, or maybe it was his father. Someone said, wish Antonio was here. Maybe it was his dad. Because Antonio was, they tried to contact him to get him to come to the show. But I told him, he doesn't have, social media or anything right now. So he's out of the loop.
Well, part of my point was.
But getting back to this.
If the guy doesn't think I'm good enough to do something on his show.
Yeah.
On a show, if he was running it, then why the fuck has he has he booked me on every single one of his shows for over the last 4 years.
Because you work cheap.
And made, you his, made you his world heavyweight champion. Well, yeah. his heavyweight champion. His tag team champion.
Twice.
His J-Cup tournament winner.
Captain Lou Albano Memorial J-Cup. That's not just like fucking NWS J-Cup. That's like legit.
Well, to him, it's legit. But there's so many things that he couldn't have given you. Yeah. Now, when it comes down to it, I told Kev this before. He made a lot of people that shouldn't be in the business look like they were deservedly.
And by him, he means me, not Dapper.
Yeah. Corey Havoc has made people look like they were supposed to be in the business.
Yeah, thank you.
And
you're welcome, Jeff.
Sean had a vital part in that also, but you know, he's kind of slacked off with helping out as much. But Kev's always stayed dedicated and loyal to that fat fucking piece of shit.
The fact is, and I've said it on here before, is he takes the guys who know what they're doing, and rather than highlight them, he uses them to make the people who aren't trained, the people who sold tickets, the people who shouldn't be in a ring, he uses the people who can work to make those people look like they belong so that their family and friends will keep buying tickets. So instead of putting on a good product, it's let me go with the safe bet and put on a shit show, but make these guys look decent so that their friends and family
He books enough people to call it wrestling.
Yeah.
But it really is.
It's the indie equivalent of talent enhancement. And you're not working with talent, though.
And actually,
it's deeper
than all this. Like, he's just pocketing money.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It has nothing to do with wrestling. He doesn't even care about wrestling. And as a matter of fact, over a year ago, he explained to me that he wishes he could get out and he would go back to roller derby, which he used to promote. He's a failed fucking promoter.
I'll open up the biggest scam he's had going. And it's that he will sell shows as sold shows. Somebody will buy a show from him, and the prices vary based on the number of TV wrestlers he has. Mm-hmm. The reason he's had so many people pretend to be guys who were on TV, whether it was Mortis, Golga, Doink, or whatever fucking thing he can come up with, is because what he can then do is say, I can sell you a show with five TV names for, what, $10,000.
Yeah.
And
in reality, getting
that budget, you're not really
getting anything.
And so what he will do is he'd get somebody to dress up as Golga.
Or Mortis.
And that's one. Steve, can you somebody dress up as a fake Mortis.
Who's dead?
Two. Somebody to dress up as a fake Doink. Three.
Dead.
And then he would hire, at that point he has three, and if he said five, he can then hire somebody local, like Julio De Niro, Danny Doring, whatever.
Who has at some point been on television to get, you know, to fill that, you know, the quota.
And then he gets whoever, you know, Eric Sims, the agent to the wrestlers in the area, gets them on the show.
Yeah.
So now he can claim to whatever sponsor, whoever bought the show, I have five TV names, three of which are going to cost him under $40.
Yeah.
But he's getting 10 grand in from the person buying the show.
Two of which who are dead.
Now, how much of that money do you think actually goes to the talent on the show?
Mm-hmm. The whole show?
Yeah.
We'll say maximum 20 wrestlers, an average of $60, maybe $40. When you factor in like
you just highballed it.
You have all like the 30-35s and you have like a handful of higher. Gotcha. So it's like $40-$45.
Could be a bit less than that.
I'm just going to throw out a number of $800. $800.
Yeah. All right. And then I mean, it's already been known that he's gotten a good price from JD in trade for the quantity of work for the ring rental. And then the building is usually taken care of probably not much more than $500.
Yeah.
So when you look at the math that way, how much is going in the guy's pocket?
Quite a bit.
Quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. A lot of money.
Yeah. And that's where you can see him taking a loss on shitty buildings like the there was a little sure. church in Neptune.
Just keeping the exposure.
A shitty
up,
building yeah. in Dunellen. Because he's already got the rest of that money rolling over from these other shows where he's essentially stolen it from the people by lying to them.
Well, first and foremost, it is a business.
Yeah.
He's trying to make money.
He's making money.
But here's the problem. He's fucked himself now.
Sure.
It's got that's this is where the oh, it's a business, he's trying to make money thing doesn't hold water, because when you put yourself in a position where everybody who was loyal to you now doesn't want to even look at your face, you don't have a business.
Oh, well, not according to him, because according to him, what did he say, Steve?
Well, a couple weeks ago, a few weeks back, I picked up a ticket packet. Is that right? Did I say that right?
Whatever.
Okay.
Crack
a packet of tickets to sell for the Keyport show we just had last night.
It'd be a sugar packet or
and
two.
And so I flat out asked the motherfucker what his stance is in the business. Because obviously, the way the towns have been flyered and the way the posters look, he's still involved.
Yeah.
And he basically told me that he's still behind the scenes. He's still getting paid. He's still collecting cash from the shows from us. You know, we're doing the matches. We're drawing people. The names are drawing people. He's still collecting money.
What is he doing, though?
He's
doing the legwork.
Apparently, he's got some kind of deal worked out with JD Smoothie.
Okay,
who's running the shows now. And I think, months ago, he offered me and Kev, actually, the company. He's like, oh, you guys can give me whatever. I'll take it.
10 grand.
Remember that day? That was like, what the fuck day was that? It was a Nashville.
Yeah.
You guys were telling me. I'm like, I'll go buy from him right now.
Yeah, he offered us to sell us the company for like 10 grand, and he would still fly our towns for us. And so I think he's got something worked out with Smoothie, but Smoothie's not going to just give him 10 grand.
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably saying, I'll take this percentage of each
he's
show.
Gonna buy,
say,
he's going to buy him
say
out two, over time.
$200 to $500 a show goes to him until 10 grand is paid off. Hmm. And then it's JD.
Which could be by the end of the year at the rate they run shows.
Sure.
But the thing is Dapper's done so much damage that JD is, he's trying to defend himself and say Dapper's not involved because that's the only way he's going to draw because he knows that people are just going to shit all over the product.
Yeah.
He's already got people calling him and harassing him because Dapper is still calling people trying to push tickets for shows, you know, because he's still getting a cut.
Dapper's legitimately calling people at 8 a.m.
6 a.m.
and reminding them to buy tickets for the upcoming shows.
Calling who?
Fans. That were used to
fans
be on
who
the
signed up to mailing
lists.
Yeah.
He's calling them in early
Don't
hours of the morning, reminding them of a show and to come buy tickets.
I would fucking choke them.
But here's the thing that I feel bad.
I wish
bad.
Somebody would.
Here's where I feel bad for JD Smoothie. I feel bad because he's constantly defending himself on Facebook threads, in person, over the phone, because he's trying to get away from that.
Yeah.
But he's stuck because everyone knows Dapper's still involved. Dapper's told me directly when I picked up those packets that he's still involved. And actually, and this might come to a surprise to the people in here, he told me he hopes JD fails. He hopes that JD gives him back the company. That's what he flat out fucking told me. And right then and there, I knew that this fucking shady motherfucker was just a piece of shit.
Hunyuk.
Mother's cunt fucking piece of shit.
This is a guy
he sold the company to and was getting out. He sold the company, hopes he fails. And then he says that he thinks the rest of the boys would welcome him back because he ran a better ship than JD can.
No.
It's fucking horseshit lies. Now listen, JD is not perfect in any way. Honestly, I've only been involved in maybe two shows since he's taken over, and not much has changed except for the fact that we have a little bit more creative control and can make a better show like we did last night.
Yeah. I think one really telling thing is Dapper used to run these shows with Gino Moore. Everybody knows Gino Moore. There's a lot of stories about Gino Moore. If you followed indies in the area, you know about Gino Moore.
Everyone knows Gino Moore.
Him and Gino had a falling out. He hired another guy to come in and help. And this guy had a lot of aspirations and a lot of hope for the shows and a lot of really good ideas. And Dapper shot every one of them down because he was worried that it would hurt costs. He was worried about overhead. If the shows, the guy suggested, let's get some guardrails and mats so the shows look better.
By the way, I'm willing to invest if JD is going to do this along for long term.
Don't even worry about it right now. Because, like I said before, JD keeps defending himself.
I know.
He's trying not to break kayfabe with the fact that Dapper's still involved.
I know.
JD keeps telling me the date.
Well, he's trying not to break that, but it doesn't help when Dapper's calling people trying to push tickets. Yeah. And not only calling calling fans that he's already burned who don't want to watch his shows anymore.
Oh, he doesn't know that, though. That's the thing.
He doesn't get that.
He's rolling the dice.
He doesn't get that he's run a shitty product for so long that the fans he's calling don't want to see it.
What pisses me off so much is he could be making so much more money if he listened to his core group of guys.
Well, what I'm getting at is he hired a guy who had good ideas.
Not just good ideas, but a guy with long-term real experience.
A guy who's actually gotten people signed
to
WWE.
Exactly.
He hired this guy to help out and wouldn't take his ideas and straight up told the guy, my shows are like a bad Chinese buffet. Everyone goes once or twice a year. They never feel good when they leave, but yet they still come back.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is a guy explaining a product that he's using to try to make money.
Do we have any more Chinese food?
Yeah. Do you want some? Is there more devil eggs?
Give me that bag.
So, like,
one left, and it's mine.
Could you imagine if fucking Billy Mays is selling OxyClean by going, this product kind of sucks and you might use it a couple times, but you're never going to buy it again, except maybe next year.
But wait, when it's back in town.
But you know what? I tell you what, if he did say that, I'd be impressed as fuck because he's fucking gay.
Yeah.
Hi, Billy Mays here. This works like shit, but you're probably going to use it a couple times a year.
Billy Mays here for mediocre wrestling.
Wow. Is that Chris Ford?
I'm dead, and so is my product. Lay off, I'm starving. You're going to hate this when you're here, but when I sell it again next year, you might buy it again. Maybe.
Counting on it, though. But, like, Dapper's still 100% involved.
What kind of faith do you have in your own product that's how you sell it to the guy who you're trying to get you to make your company better?
After the news went down with all this, like when it really was like, okay, this is it. There's going to be big changes, supposedly. I called him up just to talk to him, just to see what was going on. And, you know, he said that to me. Like, I was like, you know, what are you doing? Like, where are you going to be? And he's like, I'm going to be more involved than people think. That was basically his response. You know, and he's just like, you know, thank you for everything.
And I
appreciate
I think he in his mind wants to be more involved, and he wants it to be what everyone thinks it is, where who's this Dapper.
Oh, okay.
Where it's a blanket cover up, and he's pulling the strings and JD's his puppet. But the problem is JD wants to run the show.
Well, the thing is
JD wants it to be his show.
See, now he has potentially two companies trying to run him out.
From a very reliable source, I have a quote, and basically it's saying from now till the end of June, he has to fulfill a small obligation per show, a small payment obligation per show.
Mm-hmm.
And then he never has to deal with Dapper again.
Wow.
This is from a reliable source. Mm-hmm. I do believe that, but I think Dapper wants to sabotage that before it comes to before it happens.
What is he going to do, not put flyers up in diners? What power does he have?
Well, I have a reliable source as well. Somebody who's been in the wrestling business probably like, 20 years now?
25.
Who chimed in on the subject when I mentioned it over Facebook. Who wrote to me, nothing surprises me anymore. He, meaning Dapper, is hiding behind Smoothie like a cunt.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
End quote.
That's all you need. That's the meat right there. Now, what is that in response to?
That is in response to me mentioning the fact that, I don't want to.
Can we get that guy on the show?
Out of reference. Probably not.
What do we have to pay him?
Yes.
Well, that would certainly get him.
I'm just saying. I would love to have him on.
That was me explaining the situation with the match with Nikki and how he didn't feel that Steve and I were an appropriate matchup for Nikki's Sean Bliss match.
Continue.
And that's his own feelings and thoughts behind. And this is a guy, like, if he is to a point where, and I showed you who it is.
Yeah.
I'd prefer not to put his name out there, but he's a guy who's a very reliable source. He's been in the wrestling business a very long time. He's been
big too.
Yeah. He's been to the top, mm-hmm. you know, and he's made a lot of money on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that it's Dapper behind the scenes. And if a guy like that believes it, like, you can understand where other people will look at it.
He just knows. That's the thing. He just knows that, you know? He's in that position. He just knows. It's obviously clear. I don't even know why there's like any kind of conjecture about it.
Well, the thing is, ultimately, I feel bad for J.D. Smooth.
So do I.
Because he's constantly defending himself because mm-hmm. he has to.
Well, that's why when
anybody
who's listening to
this
right now,
he's making himself look foolish because everybody knows.
Not only
Dapper has flat out told me, what was that?
No, keep going.
Dapper flat out told me he's involved.
Yeah. No, me too.
And I'm sure if he's telling me, is telling everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it just makes J.D. look bad.
Yeah, and becomes, it becomes an uphill battle for JD because as many times as he's going to tell people, no, this is my company, then Dapper saying, oh, well, he's saying that, but it's actually my company.
I was just going to say that, like he's making it worse for himself, JD, like on top of like everything, yeah. He just keeps saying stuff, and then
mm-hmm.
he just keeps getting his foot shoved right back into his mouth.
What he needs to do, if he doesn't want to waste his time defending himself, is just make some kind of a public statement on
sure.
some site, and anytime anyone says something, just post the link to that statement.
Yeah,
and that
ultimately
will get
what
his message
I
across.
Think is he should just not fire back.
Oh, 100%
at anything.
Yeah, he should just let it.
He shouldn't
let
take
it roll.
Any big. Mm-hmm. Let it roll. Get to your get to your obligation, and then get past it.
Should I go into the Facebook responses to what I wrote?
Go for it.
Sure.
All right. No, I had written on Facebook about the situation.
It's all public knowledge.
Yeah.
This. Mm-hmm.
I wrote, guy books me on every single one of his shows for almost 4.5 years. He, quote, quits the business and now shits on me and my work. If I'm as bad as you say I am, then why did your bullshit carny clown ass employ me on all your shows? Sour grapes, go fuck yourself. That got liked by 37 people.
Nice.
And got responses such as, Dapper called me Thursday to remind me about a show in Bloomfield.
If Dapper wasn't involved, why is he calling people? He's 100%
now, hold
involved.
On. I just want to point out that I didn't say the name Dapper once in there.
And no.
People immediately knew. I also got, my dad said it's hard to trust anyone. Somebody wrote, "Oh, fuck Dapper, a discredit to the business." told you a while ago how good the dudes are as a tag team, even when you both are in singles matches. You, Rampage, Nikki Oceans, JD, Mike Dennis, and D'Amato put on the best matches I have seen live. And I've made this point on the show before. Like, D'Amato is put in a similar role as guys like me, Steve, and Sean, where me, Steve, and Sean are on the bottom making the ticket sellers look good. D'Amato has always been cast in a role where he has to make the, most of the time, you know, geriatric names. And I hate to disrespect them, but like mm-hmm. most of them are to a point where they're too old.
They know this, though.
To put on a match.
They know this.
And they know it, but they don't want to admit it.
D'Amato, yes, but they know this.
D'Amato has always been put in a position where he's got to make them look like they belong. So
Tito.
It's always been the guys.
His job is to bring you back to their moment, basically. Yeah.
It's always been the guys who can do it, making the people who can't, for whatever reason,
yeah.
look like they can. You Rampage, Nikki, they're the best matches I have seen live. That's including WWE, TNA, and others. Mm-hmm. That guy bad mouthing you is a sorry douchebag. Mm-hmm. In most companies, kids don't like the heel bad guys. But my 8-year-old likes all of you guys. And then Dave Mysterio, who's a guy who worked for Dapper for a very long time.
Ray's brother, right?
Yeah, that guy.
The gimmick started off as Ray's cousin. It was handed to him, and he had actually, as the story goes, he had a meeting with Ray, and Ray said it was okay, but he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to be a fake somebody.
Yeah.
So he changed his name eventually.
A spinoff. Dave Webb, right?
Yeah. Once I got rid of the Mysterio gimmick, he got salty. He no longer could put Mysterio real big on the ads and pull a bait and switch.
Mm-hmm.
He hated the fact not having the Mysterio name wouldn't be there to fool the fans enough to make money for himself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
After that, it was horrible working there.
Mm-hmm. Again, this comes back to the whole it's a business sort of thing, but he's cheating. That's like legitimately cheating and like false, mm-hmm. deceptive advertising. Sorry, I should say deceptive advertising.
It's basically keeping it legal.
Yeah. Yeah. It gets to the point where it's illegal, and mm-hmm. that's where it's not business anymore. He's just.
He's literally
Well, it's not.
Yeah,
illegal.
You know what else is illegal is collecting disability when you're working and not paying taxes exactly. when you're collecting an income. Yeah, that's also illegal.
I'm saying
everything. But if you're
he wasn't reporting any of it.
If you're
going to
false advertise people, well, go ahead.
Mm. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah, this is really bad. He's really deteriorated over the last like few years, in terms of like just cutthroat. You know, anything goes, and it's unfortunate. You know, this is a guy that we're more than, you know, more than willing to be loyal to and just go about our merry way.
Well, that's what pisses me off a lot about him too, is he always has preached loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this goes to that point to an extent. And it's something that I wrote in response to a lot of these people. And it's a little bit clearer than my initial post. I wrote, I've always respected him because he helped give me a start. He took a chance on me before he honestly should have. I did my best to make the most of the opportunities I was given. I'll never pretend to be better than I am. But compared to the other shit he has fed fans who paid their hard-earned money, my tag partner, Rampage Rogers, and I were a godsend. He disrespected the guys who made his shows watchable and forced them to make untrained garbage look passable. Mm-hmm. I can also never forgive him for burning guys who deserve so much more. Nicky Oceans will always be one of the best talents I've ever seen, and I blame Dapper for strangling the passion and confidence from him. Mm. I am blessed that JD was smarter than Joe and allowed Nicky to have the send-off he wanted and deserved.
I actually got goosebumps when I read that one.
Sean, honestly, is one of the best wrestlers I've ever seen in my life.
I would agree.
And to watch him at times doubt himself has always been something that's bothered me. It's mm-hmm. it's always killed me. And I know the fact is that Joe, like he did to me and has done to many guys, has gotten into his head and convinced him you're nothing without me.
Yeah.
And if you go somewhere else, you're not going to get anywhere. Yeah. This is where you have to be. And I fed into that for so long. Mm-hmm. Plenty of guys have. Sean was one of them. And anytime.
Well, and it's easy to do when you're doing 60 shows a year.
Yeah. Sure. But guys would show up and tell Sean how good he is, and he'd get to the point where he would realize, and he would do things like he would start working out more and get in better shape, and then something would happen where he would just fall right back.
I think it was time. Yeah. He's just doing these shows. He's doing these shows with just Dapper, and now it's been 6 months since he last heard a compliment. Now it's just like, ah, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's the way I take it anyway.
He'd
be better to answer that than me. But
one of the most talented guys.
Well, he's in the chat right now.
You know what he has? What he has? What Sean had over anybody else I've ever seen is natural talent.
Mm-hmm.
He naturally.
He was born to be in the business.
I don't think, literally, figuratively, he was. I don't know for sure if he's ever actually been to a wrestling school like Johnny Rods or wherever. I don't know, but he naturally just has it. He doesn't have to think. He just, on a whim, if you get lost, he can carry you through mm-hmm. that. And it was just natural to him.
Yeah.
And nobody else that I've ever met, the closest person is you, to be honest with you, Kev.
Thank you.
He can just do it. And nobody else can. And what you said you fell into it before with Dapper's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's because he made you feel, I think he was trying to use you as a ticket seller.
Absolutely.
And then realize, oh shit! Now I have something here, and then just use you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has to keep you on a feeding level, so that way you're gonna come back to him.
Yeah.
For the work.
And not to steal any heat from anything at all or any attention, I think he saw that in Matt and I, 16 years ago.
Yeah,
because we were basically the first kids. Pre-adult.
We were the first guys to work for maybe NWA.
My first contact with Dapper was when I was 16.
Yeah,
so I was the first pre like adult, you know, wrestler.
They probably had gimmick things here and there, but we were the first ones that they consistently booked.
Because he was working for Caluso then.
Yeah,
we were probably the first kids.
I never saw that on any indie shows that I ever went
to. Just to sell tickets.
Yeah, blood money.
And then wanted to use us, and luckily. I think it was on accident. We just left them.
No, I left. I left intentionally because of bullshit.
Well, he has people sell tickets, and even if they have potential, it's in his best interest to never smarten people up to the wrestling business, because then you get them to a point where they can rise above you. So he tries to keep everybody to a level of ignorance as far as wrestling
goes. You're right. Actually, a perfect example is Fast Eddie.
Well, yeah. I think a good example is me, because once I got smarter as far as wrestling goes, psychology-wise and business-wise, than he did, he stopped talking to me.
This is why he does not want anybody working for other promotions. That is a key. That is an absolute key to keeping guys brainwashed.
To keep you in the dark.
Well, to keep you brainwashed.
Well, you can attest to this. He stopped calling me with information
and started
dates
calling me.
And he's like, oh, well, you know, here's your dates and here's Corey's dates given to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I was almost always in that situation, except for the very beginning. And I've had a personal relationship with Dapper since I was 15.
And how old are you now?
31.
And you're going to be 32.
Going to be 32 soon. In 5 months, 4 months. Not even, you know. And I remember him coming to me originally when I was like 17, when we started working for him, and I would pick up the tickets from him. We would meet up at the sub shop or something, or video store or something like that. And I would pick up the tickets from him. And then I remember a little bit after that, he would just talk to Steve. He wouldn't, you know, he didn't really talk to me. And then when we came back, it was just Steve, you know. And that's how it always was. He gravitates towards certain people, maybe who we trust. But I noticed in the last year or so, he started calling me and talking to me about stuff.
Not me.
And I noticed that, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, wow, he's got nobody now that he trusts or has any kind of confidence in, because
he
never
burnt everybody.
Exactly. And that's when I realized.
But we're all
going
to beg for him to come back.
No, and we're not.
We're all going to beg
for
him to come
back. I'm actually going to do everything I can in my power, which isn't much. You know, I've been in this business for 16 years, and no one really knows me.
I'll do everything. It's not a lot, but, you know.
To keep him at it.
But he doesn't deserve to be in this business at all. At all.
His time is over.
His time is done. He's a piece of shit. Everyone knows it now. And honestly, thanks to, like, the Kevin Matthews and the Pat Bucks and the their podcasts that they do. Two and a half wrestlers. They started this, you know, and a lot of people realized. And
I'm straight up.
A lot of people that maybe even knew before this finally was able to say, yes, it's true. The guy's a piece of shit.
All you got to do is go on Kevin Matthews' page and you scroll back a couple months, and you'll see things. And not only will you see things, but you'll see things, responses coming from guys who have had the same feelings, but didn't take them to that kind of a public level.
Yeah. Even us. You know, we didn't, because we were comfortable where we were. Mm-hmm. And like we've stated before in previous shows, other companies didn't want to book us because we were Dapper Boys.
Attached to him, yeah.
We were Dapper Boys, and he is notorious for shutting down shows. And no one wanted to deal with that drama.
Yeah. Now, and here's a very interesting, like, twist of emotions that I have been used in the what's it called? The crusade against Dapper, like, using me as, like, example of being the champion of the company versus Kevin Matthews, who is a big guy in shape, you know, former aspiring guy. And he, when he posted that, he was just using that to tear down, you know, NWS at the time. And when people started responding to it, he actually had to say to them, I don't have anything against the guy in the picture. This is just a point I'm trying to make. Well, and I had a conversation with him about wrestling in that same thing. Like, I get it. Like, I understand what he's trying to do. Like, I'm not, like, full of myself or anything.
Yeah, you're not mad that he used you.
Yeah, he did a similar thing with us. When we won the Captain Lou Cup, he went out and said, this isn't something that which he was a little off in this. There was a loose affiliation with Captain Lou, but to an extent, he was right. He said, this isn't something, there's no money going to Captain Lou's family because of this. There's no reason to call it the Captain Lou Cup. People started shitting on the fact that it was me and Steve in the picture. Yeah. And he, again, had to say, this isn't an attack on the guys in the picture. It's the fact that they're calling it this. Joe's using the name of Captain Lou, another dead person, to try to make money in the wrestling business.
Yeah. And someone who can't fight back
is
being used to scrap up some cash. And it's pretty sad.
Yeah.
I can't feel my feet.
Diabetes.
Cracking beatus. I think I'm just going to call this show Two Rude Dudes Shoot Interview.
Sweet.
I'm going to put it up alongside the Monday show.
There's probably more we can do.
I'm sure there is. I mean, you guys are basically at an hour. Yeah. But if you guys want to keep going.
Well, Jeff, what's your opinion from your... Because you're newer.
I mean, I'm
hearing this
I'm
stuff that we're saying.
I'm staying quiet for the most part just because, like, you know, you've got 16 years plus, whatever.
Just in case.
And Kev's got however many. Like, I've got 2.5. So I don't really...
Yeah, so what do you
the 2.5 years wrestler podcast.
When you hear,
I mean,
that this
thing
is stuff has been going on for 16 years.
Oh, how many shows I had, 2.5.
You can't really argue that that's bullshit at all. But one thing I did think of when you guys were talking, I'm not getting cocky. Like, I don't think I'm a good wrestler by any means. Like, I'm not in shape, all
you
that.
You could take a hell of a tack.
Stop it.
But I think I can be entertaining. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I don't think I ever got the trust, even though, like you just said, I take a hell of a tack back. I'm willing to do a lot of dumb shit just to, like, help get shows over, and I've gotten good responses out of it. And pretty much that was meant with, hey, here's $20, and okay, we'll see you in a couple months. You know what I mean? It's not like it didn't help me at all. Mm-hmm. I thought I was helping because I thought I was busting my ass and doing what I could do, which, you know, it might just be get the shit kicked out of me or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You were bringing an element to the show that not just anybody was willing to do.
I think I set myself
apart. Well, hang on a second. That's what pissed me off about Dapper with you. You are, and you said this last week to me, you are different than most of the NWS, FWF workers. You will do and take things that
I found my
99.9% of us won't do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I pointed this out to guys before. If you're not something that he's created, mm-hmm. he won't put stock in you.
Oh, I remember because I remember a while ago I asked you, Kev. Like, I think I was just on some Japanese mark thing, and I was like, hey, do you think I could do this like comedy mask? And then you're like, yeah, but since he didn't make it, he's going to ruin the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
And so I didn't even think twice about doing it for him.
I'll put in a great example, the Nigerian Nightmares.
Sure.
Before they came to NWS, were building a name for themselves. And if you've never heard of them, it's two large black fellas. Very large.
Not so much anymore.
With a very, I mean, some people call it like a Kamala ripoff.
It is like a hybrid of Kamala and Papa Shango.
Yeah.
Done very well.
Very, very well.
Yeah.
And the guys can move very well
for
the sizes.
And they're not just big guys. They're fucking huge guys. Like,
and they get
400
over everywhere
plus.
They go.
Like a pizza each.
Like, they do things in the ring that they probably should not do, but they do it right.
Well, Joe looked past the impressive moves and decided that they were going to come in and start singing the national anthem of Nigeria, which wasn't a real thing. And he'd have them do conga lines post-match. He pretty much took what was a really impressive, awesome tag team and made
a
huge joke out of them. And not only did he make a huge joke out of them, but rather than let them use their actions to tell a story in the ring, he would sit on the microphone and narrate the entire thing. Yeah. Where he'd sit there and go, well, now they're going to do the national anthem of Nigeria.
They're doing this and that.
Everyone be quiet. They're doing their ceremonial tribute.
Here they go. They're doing it. They're doing it now as I talk.
Yeah, when they can perfectly just do it by themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody... Even the fucking ARC audience would know what was going on there.
Perfect example of this was, and I brought this up, because I haven't been to a lot of shows, but I did go to one, and it was like douche chill central when the ZWO came out.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And
now, I mean, let's point out, of everyone here, you've never been affiliated with Dapper or the NWS.
I think I did a
Not for Dapper.
Not for Dapper? Okay, never been affiliated with him. So as a fan, I came there and I saw the ZWO, which is the Zoo World Order, which was a bunch of, looked like young, scrappy-looking kids.
Tiger, a monkey. Mm-hmm.
Dressed as
animals. Goat.
Just
a goat.
Just
a goat.
And the goat literally was like on the mic going, meh.
Yeah.
And
Dapper
was like...
Very small... wrestlers.
He was like shitting himself in the ring. He loved it. Mm-hmm. But he opened it by saying, like, many of you may know of a wrestling faction called the New World Order. Well, this is our version of it.
Yeah.
And I'm literally sitting there going, like,
TMI.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Totally just TMI. You don't have to do that.
And the thing is 95% is having the same reaction as you.
If you do the Zoo World Order, you just bring them out.
Yes.
There are at least 100, maybe more people. They know what the NWO is. People who don't watch wrestling know what the NWO is. You don't have to explain the fucking bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You don't have to explain the joke. You don't have to. We know. We know. And even if you don't know, the grandmothers in the audience, they're just like, oh, it's a bunch of people that dress like animals.
It's as if Abbott and Costello started Who's on First by saying, you've heard of baseball.
Yeah.
Well.
There's a game called baseball. I don't know if you've heard of it.
This is our twist on baseball.
Exactly. And that's my two cents.
The national pastime. Well,
Thank you, Derek.
That's what turned Deborah.
What he would do. And it's assuming it's... Everything he did insulted the intelligence of the audience.
Yeah.
Thank you. It insulted my intelligence.
Yes.
And it gave me douche chills while I was watching it. I almost left.
I almost missed a lot of his match. A lot of his booking. A lot of his booking was embarrassing to the guys on the show and to the fans in the audience.
I felt bad for the poor kids that were dressed up like animals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, what we're saying is we don't want you back, Dapper.
Yeah.
You ruined the fucking business. You ruined what you had.
I don't even know the guy.
You could have made it so much more than it is.
Yeah.
You fucked up.
Essentially, go into hiding or go to jail.
Either or.
We don't need you.
All the guy had to do, and you mentioned this before, was listen to the fucking guys.
Not even all the guys. Just the core guys.
Yeah, just the core guys.
The four or five guys.
You sat there telling me, like, oh, I went out to dinner with him. I tried to tell him to do this.
And he's like, no.
And he was, no.
If it makes me laugh, I'm going to put it on.
Like we said.
If I'm going to lose money, I might as well be able to laugh.
Like we've always said, Dapper always knew that he was making X amount of dollars for this year.
Yeah.
He knew it. He had it calculated to a T. So he didn't want to risk losing a dollar.
Any money that he spent was coming out of his pocket.
Even though if he
would have
listened to Kev or Nicky Oceans, he probably could have made so much more.
But he treated it as if...
He probably never, I can guarantee you, never would have lost money listening to them.
And simple. How easy is it to get mats and railings?
Mm-hmm. It is easy.
Well, the overhead, and then we'd have to pay more to transport them. And
he saw it as a loss.
And some of our buildings, we'd have to take out a row of seats. And
let me tell you something. Last night, I saw a guy jump over the top rope, get thrown over the top rope, and I thought he was going to fucking kick a kid in the face.
Yeah.
Okay? And the first thing I thought was, wow, they really need to get railings.
Yeah. I brought this up to my mother last night, which is, I really want to segue into something that I wanted to bring up. It's going to make you all laugh at me.
X-Pac apologizing to your family?
Well, no, but he did. No, you know what? He just happened to be walking.
His voice now too.
He sounds like Red Titus.
I love it.
He just happened to be walking past my family when he was going back to the locker room as everybody was leaving.
He did
apologize to them, and I heard my mother. She like pat him on the arm. She's like, "No, you did fine. You did fine.
It's okay, darling.
It's fine, Sean. It's fine."
Yeah.
You're a good boy.
I'll wait until Steve gets out so I can tell them. Tell the rest of my story. But
I got this great story. It's going to make you all laugh. Steve gets up because he's a shitter.
Anyway, but I'll get to the other part that doesn't require Steve. She said to me, she's just like, how come there's never any pads on the floor for you guys? Like, yeah, everybody's falling out of the ring and somebody's going to get hurt. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, people do get hurt. And I've never, I cannot think of a single time I've ever wrestled on an indie show and there were pads on the floor. I'm really trying to dig for it. And I mean, I've wrestled for maybe like 6 or 8 different companies, I don't think I've ever had it.
The states with athletic commissions usually require them.
But New Jersey's
I don't think Pennsylvania does.
Nope.
Pennsylvania doesn't. New York does.
New York is, you need a license, you need regular physicals, everything like that.
I think Pennsylvania, you have to have guardrails. You don't need mats.
I
don't think you need guardrails either, actually.
Yeah. No, not Pennsylvania.
You definitely don't need mats, because I've been to shows in Pennsylvania where there definitely was.
Well, I know New York absolutely requires guardrails and mats.
Yes, it does.
I don't think New Jersey has an athletic
commission. Well, no, they have an athletic commission. It does not go. I think it was when, it might have been, somewhere in the 90s, they deregulated.
It was 1997, it was Christine Todd Whitman.
Yeah.
And The Undertaker.
Yes.
Decommissioning wrestling with the big tombstone envelope. You remember that?
Well, that was all pushed by Vince McMahon anyway to avoid certain tax rates you would have to pay to be involved with.
And that's when he came out and did the whole, this is entertainment.
Yes.
The whole it's entertainment thing predates that because when they were going through the steroid trials, he was trying to say that there's no reason to have a steroid policy for something that's not an actual sport because it's not actual competition. Yeah. There's no competitive edge by being on steroids.
It's an interesting thing because the steroids still like... There's like an internal competition.
Wait, time out.
So to speak.
Time out. Matt was the last person to use the bathroom. Toilet don't flush.
Well, it gets stuck.
You know what? I was going to bring that up when I came out too, that your toilet scares me.
Yeah, it's scary.
Because it does not flush that strong. There's no strength in that.
I had to run upstairs this morning because I went in there and there was no water in the toilet. I'm like, what? I went upstairs and pooed and then I came down and took care of it.
Anyway, I'm
sorry. Can you switch the camera to them? I'm going to use the bathroom. I don't want people looking at it.
I just pissed and I couldn't flush it. So you might want to.
I'll fix it.
Thank you.
Now I got to wait for Derek to get back because he's going to. Hopefully he left. No. You have to be here. I still have more stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I'll hear it on the replay.
This also goes out to Jeff, because I know Jeff has been working on running some indie stuff, and I'm really looking to invest into some kind of company, and at least if I'm not just going to pay for it outright, get reimbursed over time to get some kind of legitimate setup going, because my mother said to me, the ring looked like shit last night. Like, my mother said that. She's like, what was up with that? Like, the whole, like, she was highly critical. She hasn't been to one in a while. She was highly, highly critical. And I said to her, I'm like, I've really been planning on getting a ring and maybe saving these guys the effort of having to bring their ring up with them when they're running shows. I want to have one here, something good. Like, I want to get a high spots ring that looks real nice for like $6,000 or something like that and do it and have it available. And I want to get, floor mats. I want to get guardrails. I'm like, but if I'm going to do all this stuff and hopefully get reimbursed for it, these guys are going to have to make the effort to transport it at least. Because I can't deal with it anymore, I see this, like, just everything, production-wise, like, just the unholy goofiness of everything just blows my mind. Even, like, the way people are dressed that are doing things, like, I just, it makes me sick.
And going by, like, what your mom said, I actually noticed yesterday that multiple times one of the turnbuckles would just fall off.
Yes.
Multiple times. Like, I remember
I worked Jeff last night, Atomic Dog.
Worked with.
Danced with.
You got me in the habit of that, finally.
Worked with. I didn't work him. I worked with him.
My wife has it on film, by the way, and I watched it.
It was all right. Huh. I smashed his head into the buckle a few times to set up a little spot to show that he has a very strong cranium. He took the second turnbuckle, and the turnbuckle pad fell off, and he hit his head right on the steel bulk of the turnbuckle. Oof. And he did get injured. He came back in the locker room, and he was, like, rubbing his head, and I could see he had a nice lump on it. And that's not good, because that's not part of the show.
League.
Yeah, but it's also not part of the show,
True.
He wasn't supposed to get hurt ramming his head into the turnbuckle because it's fucking wrestling.
Whose ring was that last night?
That's JD's, right?
Still, yeah.
I want to know. And like the posts look like they were all rusted. Did he like strip the paint and is he going to repaint them or something?
No, he had painted them white.
Yeah.
All white.
Painted them white.
The problem is that the white paint begins, I mean, even just in
transport. It chips off during transport.
You just transport. It all scratches off. So it begins to look even dirtier because now you have, where they at one point they were black and if they got a little rusty, it's hard to tell. Mm-hmm. Now they're white.
And they're getting all skidded
so
up.
Everything stands out.
That was a gnarly looking ring last night.
It just it when
gnarly.
I saw,
well, gnarly
no
means
joke.
Good.
JD keeps,
no
in a bad way.
No, JD no. Does not.
JD
mean good.
Maintains the colors because it's the colors of the like he does
that's
a
fine.
Black and white.
Black and white's a company color.
But it was pointed out the guy who I brought up earlier, the consultant that Dapper had hired, because we were still using JD's ring. He pointed out the ring is black, white, and gray.
Yeah,
it's very bland colors. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, like, aesthetically, it's not pleasing. It doesn't.
Not everybody needs a red, white, and blue ring or whatever, but you can do something else with it.
I walked in there, I was like, that is a shitty looking ring. Yeah.
People
it
walk
was depressing.
In, people walk in, and the first thing they see is the ring.
Though it's in the middle of everything.
Yeah. Though ring, it does bump nice.
The ring
was pretty good. Paint it.
But the ring needs to stand out. And if it doesn't, you're already at a disadvantage as a show.
And Clutch says, fill the turnbuckle with cotton.
Cotton.
I saw the ref going over as people were using the turnbuckles. Ref was going over and fixing them.
Yes. It was like what we used to do when we were backyard, when we would pull up the ropes and shit.
It looked like Matt's ring in the backyard of his grandmother's house.
That thing was nice. That was nice. That bump. You could bump without pads
nice.
On that
You know
thing.
What was nice about that?
Straight
is
plywood.
For years, you could bump on it, and we never knew it. And then eventually we realized you could just bump straight up on this fucking wood. And
on the wood.
Fine.
Yeah.
And then Clutch also says, thank you for not miking the ring. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
That was good.
Yes. I
the
hate
ring
that.
Is fucking loud to begin with.
Yeah, the ring is loud without the mic.
Don't mic the mic. Like, the ring.
When you mic it, you hear every single step.
And it's horrible.
Yes.
I think you guys even brought that up.
Yes.
I might just be repeating.
No. It's fine. But it's,
But yeah, you can hear steps.
Yeah,
that just kills the whole.
Because you know what it is? I'm there with a 4-year-old, and he, you know, he has the attention span of a moth. Apparently,
wow.
He's like running around on the bleachers and stuff, and then like you know, a high spot comes, and you hear the doosh, and all of a sudden his attention goes right to the ring, and he's looking and watching, like that means something. Because you don't want, you know, if somebody is like punching in the corner and, you know, stomping their feet.
It's for more momentum when you throw the punch.
It gives you more. You're getting into it. But you don't want, you want to hear like this giant boom every step like Jason. Yeah.
You
want to
hear the ring when something happens.
Thank you.
And here's the thing. Beforehand, when some guys were, you know, getting in their time in the ring, somebody got slammed and they were very, very small and light. And it was so loud, and I even commented. I said that was a lot louder than I expected it to be.
I think that was one Kev slammed the girl. I remember getting the shit scared out of me.
It might have been. That's a 100-pound girl.
It did seem like you threw her through the ring.
Yes,
that's exactly.
Well,
what
I was very
like.
Frustrated. Uh-huh.
It was like you were slamming her onto a
well,
black
she did.
Hole.
Black. Well. She did drop kick him in the dick.
Yes. And her entire, all of the matter in her body was evenly distributed on the surface area of the ring.
And her drop kicks aren't worker drop kicks. That's a straight shoot drop kick.
That's like a ninja's drop kick.
That was fuck you for that
it's
body
Liu
slam.
It's Liu Kang,
drop.
But if she was a black woman. Black
guy.
Whoa. All right. And now I want to get to something else.
Go ahead.
And I hope you guys are going to land with this.
I got to use the bathroom.
Okay. You saw Will's match, right? Mike Reigns.
Who's Will?
Mike Reigns.
What was it, match 3?
Was it? Was that match 2?
Yeah.
Right. You saw he had to follow up me and Jeff, so I don't know how he could
do
that.
And then I'll tell my story about why I had to leave.
Good, good. Here's my story. When I came home and I was, you know, venting with my mother about the overall quality of production, she said to me,
Who gives a shit, Matt?
Should we explain what the match was first?
Wait, what?
Should we explain what the match was first?
Okay. You can explain.
All right, it was thrown together before the show. There was
the third match, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. When they're getting the lineup together, they had Michael Reigns, who he's been in for how long, Matt?
It was 13 years in October.
All right. Wow. So you say 13 years, it sounds like a lot of experience.
Sounds like it.
He was going against a guy who it was his very first match.
Brandy new. He was brand a seed.
He was as green as the tights he was wearing.
Oh, we'll get into that.
And green as goose shit.
By the way, he was wearing green tights.
And then the third guy, it might have been his fourth match.
He said he's been in the business a year when I asked him.
No, he hasn't.
That's bullshit.
He maybe came around a year ago.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not to mention, by the way.
He might have took in his first bump a year ago.
Okay.
By the way, he's also an AJ Styles mark. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
Yeah, he also looked like a New Wave. I don't know if you remember New Wave.
He does look.
He
looks like a young.
His name should actually be New Wave Styles.
New Wave Styles.
This kid.
NW Styles.
This kid makes me laugh because he always wears cut off like muscle
NWS.
Shirts.
NWS. That's New Wave. Styles NWS.
He wears muscle shirts, but he's like the doughiest. Like
he's not doughy. He's in better shape than I am.
But he's what they call skinny fat.
Everybody
where,
is
skinny fat.
Where like It's a guy
he
who
took his shirt off, and you're like, ugh.
If
you're
he
like,
was oh. wearing a shirt, you
yeah,
wouldn't
he shouldn't be going
you wouldn't
shirtless.
Expect him to be.
He's got some droopage.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like
yeah,
if
no,
he was
he
to wear
needs,
normal clothes,
he just
clo-
needs
like
to work out.
Like
a couple
if he
times
wore clothes,
right.
like he could do like clothes like modeling because he's skinny. Yeah. But when he takes the shirt off, then you see the droopy love handle.
I just
anyway.
Want to say that the other day at work, my work, which has nothing to do with professional mm-hmm. wrestling,
no, nowhere
I used the term "greener than goose shit." And it got a really big response from my oh,
awesome.
Bosses.
Awesome.
So thank you for that.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, on. So basically, Will, as much as I love him, he cannot be in charge of new guys in the ring because he does not have the ability to give them to any direction. He knows that he needs direction when he's out there, at the very least. The very least, he knows, because that's why he likes working me, because I have a lot of patience with him.
I believe they call it the blind leading the blind.
Yes. This is the blind leading the blind, deaf and dumb.
About Mike
that's
Reigns. About Mike Reigns.
Blind leading the arc.
Yes. About Mike Reigns real quick. You know what I hate about Mike Reigns?
Oh, boy.
That he hates me because he thinks I hate him.
Yes.
Yes. That's not even
exactly.
true.
Exactly.
It's not even true.
He really
I don't
does.
Hate
he's
him.
Like, fucking Steve. He's always, he's probably why I'm not getting booked. You know?
It's called
that's
working
like, yeah,
out,
that's
Derek.
Like how he is.
That's not, he hates me. Because he
oh
thinks I
God.
Hate him.
Clutch just said he had baby banana tits.
Baby banana tits.
Wait, now wait, now wait. That's
plantain.
That other kid?
Like little eggs.
Okay.
Like plantain fucking tits. Sunny side okay. up egg tits.
All right. Okay, let's get to the whole point of this.
Poor guy, go ahead.
The bottom line is their match dragged on. Nothing was happening. It just wasn't good, and it's because Will was in there with two brand new guys yeah. that didn't know who they
but he's got
13
years experience.
He shouldn't
even guide
that would matter.
His 13 years experience might add to about 13 months.
Oh,
no, I'm saying with the amount of matches. Like, for example, Kev, about how many matches have you done?
I'm actually the total count
324
in six
matches.
And a half nice. Years.
Okay, I've only done, I'm going to say, maybe 100 total matches in 15 years. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I have absorbed way, way more than Will has in the
what?
Same amount of time. And the thing that really bothers me is that he hasn't at least gotten to the comment... What?
To the common sense.
Nikki Ocean says, baby banana tits asked me, why was my match so bad? And I said, you were in it. Baby banana tits.
Well, where he took the direction of saying, it's your fault. That same guy came up to me and said, why was my match bad? And he's like, be as harsh as possible. I was like, dude, there's nothing you could have done to make it better.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, Danny
it was
DeMarco.
As good as it was going to be.
Let's, wait, we'll get to that.
Go
we'll
ahead.
Are you going to say what I think you're going to say?
No, go ahead.
Oh, the diner comment I thought it was going to be.
All the diner comments.
Anyway.
diner
so,
the diner.
So, basically, bottom line is that, and again, this was not fair to Will. To put him in this situation.
No, not at
fair
all.
To
it was
Flair.
Not fair.
I would
to Will.
Honestly have rather put Will against X-Pac than against these two.
Derek almost lost.
Spill the Kraken.
He's going to spit it out.
Yes! I just got it. I just got it.
I just got him.
He spit out the fucking shit. You just released the Kraken.
Oh, man.
Was it blue?
Yes. Can you imagine that match?
No.
All right.
I don't. Derek's crying. Derek's crying.
I'm gonna leave Derek on here. Oh, I don't. You want me to change? You want me to change it, Derek?
I think you should go right back to Derek.
That's all right. I can do multi.
That was horrible. I gotta drink this now. Okay, I'm all right.
I'm not.
I got a tweet from Daisy Murder that says, only at UMK Shock can talk about his mom or say unholy goodness, unholy goofiness, and still be taken seriously.
I just cried so much.
Daisy Murder.
Daisy Murder.
Crazy Daisy. Linda. Still going. Love it. Love it.
It would have been better off.
Yes.
All right. Bottom line is,
I'm very
this is what I would have
end
done.
Of your story.
Oh, this is, there's a lot more, and I think it, I don't now see now I, it's not all gonna right, have
let's
it's not gonna
it.
Be as good now
they
that we've gotten so much because it's been so long that I've been trying to get.
I know.
This
sorry.
But there's so much to talk about. Okay. Had I gotten wind of the before they went out?
He's gonna spit again.
No, I'm not.
Had I gotten wind that he was going to work. Two new guys, I would have directly gone to JD and said, I have to interject. I would have told him it is for the better of the show, and I would have put Chill Will and Jeff in the match and had a handicap
oh, fuck
match.
You.
No, I would have had a handicap match, so at least you could have saved it. That's at least you could have saved it because
that's giving me a lot of credit.
No, because you could have sold the shit out of a bunch of stuff for those kids to at least make them feel like they were on the show.
But I sold stuff for Chill Will, and people yelled at me for that.
Well, whatever.
It's true.
Whatever.
Kev.
But the bottom line is, there could have been some kind of handicap match.
What, Derek? What? What?
No, I hear you.
Where
saying.
You and Will could have worked no, over those kids
say
the whole
sure, sure,
show, the whole match, and it would have made. It would have made a little more sense for the sake of the show if all of you guys were going to be booked on the same show and your match turned out to, well, not your match really, but because of all five of you being on the show, one of those matches was in some way extra at that point.
Sure.
Because of just the booking that was involved.
Matt, I know you're trying to get a story out of here
continue,
for an
continue,
hour
continue,
now.
Continue.
But what did you, what's
Nikki,
so funny?
Nikki Ocean's continued.
What is that?
What could I have done? Talking about baby banana tits. Sean says, called off the show. The whole show. Just end it.
His last retirement show. Just I
that's
can't
it.
Make it
forget
tonight.
It. I can't even do
forget
it.
It. Just
can't
call
even
it
do it.
Snow.
Actually,
it snowed.
Actually, you know what? I just came to a realization.
that's
a
realization.
That you pronounced
he could
too many
not,
letters?
He could not have picked a better show to retire
no
than
shit.
That one.
This is the most
why because
about
he,
show
he had
ever.
The he had the only good match on the show.
Yeah,
yes.
Matt had a good show.
What?
I think you had a good.
Oh yes,
it was okay.
Yes,
it was okay. Yeah, it wasn't great.
Shockwave.
I wish
and then
you
couldn't pick
the,
him up.
The
it was never happening.
The contrast no. match.
Yeah, high contrast. That was the ebony versus ivory bipartisan.
That was
wow,
it. That was Oreo match.
You couldn't get blacker than black or whiter than white in that match.
And there was a lot of us in there.
Yeah.
Oh, there was.
Because our total combined weight is about 600 pounds.
Wow, that could move.
See,
her.
The referee was wearing black and white so he can run between you.
Yeah. He just kept spinning
in.
Around.
Yeah.
Kevin just kept spinning around.
He was the blur. Oh, like, yes. The running zebra between
yes.
The gray independent.
Now, no, well, for the record, our match was good. You and Jeff was good.
It was average, but it wasn't horrendous.
For what it was, Balls and Lumberjack Monroe was good until there was a weird fucking like.
They broke the table.
Well, all right, yeah, the table broke.
Are you talking
like,
about the
what,
afterwards?
The match ended, and for some reason, there was like a handshake.
Oh, yeah.
Like into a fight at
mutual
the end of the match.
Mutual respect into
that,
a brawl?
Yeah, that was just not needed and yeah. Really awkward, and like the fans just didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know.
I want to get to
Matt's
the other guy.
Matt's got to finish his goddamn story. His mic just broke.
I want to get to the other guy.
Okay.
The other guy in the match, what's his gimmick? Lightning Bolt?
No. He's
Oh no.
He's Livewire.
Livewire. The other there's another guy with Lightning.
Rich McGuire.
Okay, Livewire. Rich McGuire. Okay.
Very first match ever.
What's his deal?
No relation to Derek.
Because I got to know him very well at the diner last night.
I believe you guys on this show tend to call it the Ark.
Oh man.
The spark, you mean?
Is
Livewire.
Does and I know this is really mean. Does he have
spark?
Wow.
The spark.
Wow. SPARC.
The Livewire is an extra chromosome.
Yes. That's his new on the next flyer for the May show. The spark.
SPARC. Sparky,
capital.
Yeah, A-R-C. With dots, with dots.
No, listen,
it's gotta stand for something.
No, lowercase s, capital A R C.
Yes.
Sorry.
Oh man. Okay. Now, all right.
Shit.
Does he have a learning?
All right. See you next week, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Sorry.
He's a great kid.
He seems like a very nice person.
He's very nice. Yes.
Yes, he does.
I'm gonna say he's very naive.
He does sort glass.
No. He's not like that. He's not like what the typical person would consider to be retarded. In quotes.
Yeah,
he's not. He's functioning. He's absolutely functioning person.
He is functioning. Yes.
But in my opinion, it's very, very dangerous for him to be in the ring.
Well, here's
dangerous for him to be around anything in the business.
Well, anyway.
He's a really good referee.
Like, say the concession stand.
Yeah. Maybe he should do that.
Like, he can count three with one hand and one dick.
Whoa.
Oh, God.
Okay.
He tried to kiss me.
Well, he told me he thought he was going to get some girls' numbers after the show.
Well, he said every show I brought him to for, you know, for...
Every girl gave me their number, and it was always one.
How do you know him?
How do I know him?
Yeah.
I met him because he was a fan of these shows who wanted to get involved.
Okay.
And to an extent, I've mentored him.
Okay.
And I will admit, he's picked up a lot better than I thought he would.
Okay.
He refereed one of my matches. He's really good as a referee.
Boy,
as with the exception of him stopping to camp and set up campgrounds, if you know what I mean.
Those pants rub really. Yeah.
They rub a lot.
He's trying to kiss me.
Oh, man.
Okay. As a wrestler, this was his first. He's refereed a few times. He's done well every time. As a wrestler, this was his first time in the ring as a wrestler. Did not go as well as him refereeing. I think with time, he could be passable.
Okay. That's I didn't want to be too harsh on him. Psychology-wise, as a person, not as a wrestler, I picked up on some things.
Yeah.
That's all. Okay. Fine. Whatever.
Matt went to college for psychology, by the way.
Well, not really.
All right, so Matt, you have a story?
I've taken some psychology.
Psychology?
Wow. Do we remember what this guy looked like?
I do.
Yes.
You remember what he looked like?
Yes,
with
the
just the way he looked
we
in,
have this,
in his
me
outfit.
And like him have the same male pattern baldness, apparently.
Okay. Yes. When I got home, my mother said
to me... Wait, hang on. You got home at 1:30 in the morning.
Yes.
Well, she woke up right when I get... She always does.
Oh, okay. So she didn't wait up for you to tell you this.
She was watching the Mets.
The Mets.
She says to me, "Who's that guy that Will wrestled? Was that Derek?"
Yeah, Derek, you're fat.
I look like the guy from Ark.
No, he was wearing a clover on his fucking pants, not a Scotter bagpipe.
Scotter bagpipe.
Whatever. I leave out some fucking letters.
She asked my grandmother, and my grandmother started cracking up. And then she goes, "Wait, I don't know.
It might be."
No, legitimately didn't know.
Meanwhile, I'm like 20 feet from them.
In the bleachers.
And they don't even know.
They thought it was him.
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
If I could have gotten to that like 45 minutes later, it would have been even better.
Yeah.
It was so good. Holy crap. No, they really did. And I started laughing. I laughed like I laugh on the show.
You should have.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it when she said that.
And now I'm coming to the ring, dark.
My gimmick was
Del
Davis.
You could actually use the opening of Stone Cold's music with the breaking of glass.
Sure.
No, just the sound of sorting glass.
Yeah,
just
like I sort glass. That's my job. My entrance theme was the theme to this show.
Yes, it was. I call it the Ahmed Johnson theme.
Yes, it is very Ahmed Johnson-y.
Esque.
Yeah.
So they thought I was wrestling.
They thought that was you.
I actually see it.
Yeah, me too, actually.
Yeah.
I got compared to him last night.
Looking in a mirror.
just because he might be listening, I do actually, I like him.
Okay.
I'm surprised that he did better than Will.
Whoa!
Because I'm going to say...
From the perspective of somebody who's never worked for NWS or FWF,
yes.
Observing as a fan.
Yes.
Okay.
He took a suplex mighty fine because I'm like, this guy's a little off.
I'll point out that was the first time he'd ever taken a suplex. Ever.
He took a suplex and I was like, okay, he did pretty good. And then I saw Will botch a sharpshooter.
Wow. he actually brought
a sharpshooter, probably the most famous submission in all of wrestling. Oh, yeah.
He actually brought that up to me. He said he wasn't sure about taking that suplex. Like he really like that was a big deal to him that he took that and it was totally not expected.
I don't remember specifically, but I remember about to take my first suplex at Iron Mike's. Mm-hmm. And it's nerve-wracking because I'm like, I'm going to be like 5 feet
down,
in the air, upside down, and I'm going to come over and land. Because I took them in your yard.
Yeah.
And that was a little different.
In your yard.
Well,
on a grass fucking hill.
I don't want to sit here and say, we did backyard wrestling end. I took them in your...
I would post all my videos if everybody said it was okay.
I don't give a shit.
As long as you can fucking blur out my face.
I'll just paste on like somebody else's face.
Just a generic smiley face.
Yeah.
Yes. But your ring was basically crash mats with plywood on top.
Yeah, no, it was just a little plywood, more like a little plywood stage with some gym mats on it.
That's exactly. Mm-hmm. And it was soft.
It was good. It had a good
bump. When I took them at Iron Mike's in the actual wrestling ring,
It hurt like hell.
It hurt. You know, that's when I'm just like, okay, I really do have to land.
And I
like,
really
have to
don't.
Flat. Yep. I got to pull my arms back. Mm-hmm. I got to make sure I do this right.
I really don't want to do this is what you thought.
And then of course, the first thing I did was I ran to the ropes, and I went too soon. It went right through the middle rope onto the floor. And Iron Mike just stood up and went, don't sue me.
Don't sue me.
Shit, don't sue.
This will either be a credit to either how good I was or how bad my training was. I was actually taking suplexes on the first day I learned to bump.
Yeah. I took a power bomb in that ring, I think, the first night from Steve. The first time I went to Iron Mike's.
Yeah, well, when we first got there, everybody looked at us like fucking pet mice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We wanted to see what we could do. And I think the audience members were like Nova, Meanie, and all them.
That was like maybe a month in.
Yeah.
But yeah. But the very first night that I went there, it was me, you, Tootie, and Tootie's uncle or cousin. Remember that guy? With the mustache and the long hair.
Yeah.
Tony? No, it wasn't Tony.
Probably
Frank.
Maybe.
Well, he was there, and I remember basically like going there, and my mother was talking to Iron Mike. Again, we're 16 years old at the time.
Yeah, and I was just busting nuts.
Basically, she's trying to get like an idea of what this is going to be because this is something that she's going to let her son, you know, do, and basically she was like, "All right," she's like, "I want to get going." And I was like, well, I want to get in the ring. You know, I want to do something. So I basically, like, jumped in there. And it was like everybody was on the ring and people got tagged in. And I just showed off a little bit and I left. And then I didn't get to come back for a while.
Yeah.
Because she wouldn't let me come back.
No.
When I did come back.
Because you were in a dark neighborhood.
Yeah.
No light.
It was pretty dark there.
Yeah.
It was.
And then when I did get to come back and I actually got, like, to legitimately train was when the bumping started. There was a lot of fucking bumping on a really fucking stiff ring.
Yeah.
And that, you know.
And there's nothing like taking a powerbomb and hitting your head on the fucking
your head on the ceiling
on
of the cross
girders.
Yeah.
Now, steel girders. Yeah. And
I didn't realize that. My parents had no idea I even went there.
Yeah.
I brought it up to them once, like, when I went to wrestling school. And they're like, you went to wrestling school?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, remember? And they were like, no, you never told us. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, shit.
There's a similar thing with Web Monster Mike. He didn't tell his parents that he was going to go. When he went, after you stopped going.
He didn't go too long, though.
A couple times.
He got hurt.
He had a bad back getting into it.
I went a few times with him.
He went there and hung out and taped and stuff for us. But he actually went with me to train a couple times. He was like, I want to give this a shot, you know, whatever. He backyarded with us or whatever. And he told me that after he told his parents about it, they were like, you can do whatever you want. And like while all of our other parents were just like, fuck no.
There's gangs around there.
Which is funny because like I wouldn't expect his parents to be, you know, like that. With, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they looked at it as fake or whatever. But
I had no idea that my parents didn't know that.
Yeah.
I did that.
An interesting point where when you were saying getting like flipped upside down, being in the air, is he would always remark when he was at the school if somebody was going to take like a move, like a power slam or a pile driver. And he was just like, he's like, no, he can give me a tombstone, and he's like, I'm a lot bigger than him, and I just, you know, I just feel like, you know, getting held upside down is uncomfortable, and then when you land, you think you're on the ceiling. Yeah. You're kind of disoriented, basically. And if you're not used to being picked up like that.
Somebody, I don't know who, somebody held me up. Like, they had, like, a holding suplex, whatever you want to call it. I don't know.
Stalling or delayed suplex.
Somebody gave me a delayed stalling suplex, and I remember being up there and just having my head in their arm and just, like,
it had to be
looking
Paulie.
Around and being like, this is fucking weird.
Did he look like a big hot dog with tattoos?
I don't remember.
That's what you called me last night.
I did.
I don't remember who did it. It might have been one
I'm
of you.
I'm not wrong.
It might have been, I don't know, could have been Antonio. I have no idea who it was.
It must have been Paulie.
Wearing leather chaps.
Had to be Paulie. He almost looked like he could pass as like Hawks, like really, like really.
I honestly have no idea who did it.
Arc cousin.
I just remember looking. Uh-huh. Like, because I could
see.
Well,
he's just known for doing that to guys.
I could see, like, out, and everything was upside down.
Did he have one squinty eye and a trail of powder coming out of his nose?
Don't remember.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
But I just remember looking and being like, this is very weird.
Yes.
And then I landed on my back.
By the way,
you're going up for a suplex, brother.
By the way, that hot dog with tattoos, I don't know if you remember this, Matt, but... he sent me off with somebody else. I don't remember who the person that he sent me off with was.
Richie Rotten.
Was that who it was?
I don't know. It could have been. It was all around the same time.
They sent me off, and they just called a double chop.
Yes!
And I blocked it with my elbows. I kind of moved in, and they got pissed. Mm-hmm. So then they did it again, and they said, don't block it. So I just straight up didn't. I think I ran off the ropes with my hands in the air and let them chop me across. Like, they hit me, like, on my under tit. And it hurt so fucking bad that I immediately got blood blisters.
Yep.
Blood blisters the size of their pinky fucking hot dog fingers. And I woke up in the middle of the night with them bleeding. I was soaked in blood off of chops.
Bishap said, did I hear the Ark of the Covenant joke in there?
Nope, what? You didn't.
ARC?
No.
Spark.
It was...
Damn.
Yes, it contained the Ten Commandments.
Paulie was the
of
only
working in a glass sorting factory.
Was that Derek?
Paulie was the only guy with a hot dog complexion in the middle of like the winter.
Mm-hmm. Dude was always as like tan as
but,
a Coca-Cola
but,
can.
But then he would change. he would
big man with a permanent tan.
He would change into his wrestling jeans and chaps, and
his
legs would be as white as Matt's face.
Yes,
but from the waist up, he was hot dog colored.
Yeah,
what am I looking at? Sean just sent me that.
Okay. Sorry about that. Anyway, yeah. Wow, we've really we've really gotten away from the
from Dapper.
Yeah. But I guess it's a
since we're away from Dapper and still talking wrestling, it's Tommy Dreamer's birthday.
Hey,
is it today?
Yeah. Well, Thursday.
Thursday. Well, I'm saying
yeah.
today.
Yeah.
Yes. He's the man in the box.
I am going to post both of these shows
on
the 11th of February. Ruary.
Yeah.
One show is going to be our comedy show,
mm-hmm.
and one show is going to be a shoot interview
yes.
with the two rude dudes, mm-hmm. Shock, and I guess Cannibal Jeff.
Oh,
I think
the
said
hardcore
one
Cannibal.
Thing.
Yeah, I didn't really say
that's
much.
All right. He
the
does,
hardcore
he doesn't
Cannibal.
Really,
cannibal.
Doesn't really want to get
like
involved.
Like I said, I wasn't around as much as they are. It's not that I don't want to get involved. It's just that I don't have as much.
So wait, so we're not, this
well,
isn't going out on
okay,
Thursday?
Okay, so real quick, what do you...
No,
your,
no, we'll do this.
If you feel comfortable saying it...
I think people want to hear it.
Yeah.
Okay. If you feel comfortable saying it, if you don't, you don't. What do you think about what we said? Like, do you relate to this stuff, or do you see it completely opposite?
Oh, I don't see it opposite at all. Like I said before, like, you guys have lived it more, I guess. I guess I was always kind of more of, in a way, an outsider of it, I guess. So I don't feel like I have a place to say as much as you do. One thing I could say, I guess, is that you said that he said everything come crawling back to him. I don't think that'll ever happen.
No.
From me or you or Kev or anybody, Shock. And I'm
sure some people
Well,
will.
Even his ticket sellers are having a better time
sure.
now with him gone.
I mean, I've done, sure. I think, 4 of Smooth shows so far, and... Even though I think I even said it to you earlier today, like, the quality isn't, you know, good still, but it's a higher level of mediocre than it has been before.
It does need some TLC.
A higher level of mediocre.
I would love
that should be
like
their tagline.
Yeah. I would love to really like get involved with that, but
yes.
like
well
I don't know.
Get some fucking video screens.
Well, the
screens.
Other thing, too, working against JD is a lot of his greenhorns are developing egos bigger than they
very quickly. Uh-huh. And because that part is, like, not in check, because I don't think he talks them down.
A lot of that still goes back to Dapper, because when Dapper would book guys to sell tickets where he wouldn't smarten them up, he also wanted to give them too much so that they would feel like they were a star, and that way their people would keep coming back. And the problem with that is you never give guys an incentive to try to actually learn how to do business the right way. And that was one thing I had always talked to him. Like, you're never going to get a better show out of him. You're never going to teach him how to do things right. But it was, a way to keep them in a way where they're going to maximize the amount of profit they're bringing in by selling tickets while not being smart enough to be able to see through his bullshit.
It's a fiscal brainwashing, like almost like a pyramid. It's like an inverted pyramid almost.
Yeah. Well, I'll even drop names on some of the greenhorns that I'm starting to have a problem with. And Fast Eddie is one of them.
Yeah.
You know, he went from a likable kid with a lot of potential to someone that I don't even want to help out no more. Mm. And I like him. He's a good person.
But you're already seeing.
But yesterday he had a shit match. Mm-hmm. He was in a shit match where even the TV name on the show probably hated his match the worst.
Really?
Okay. It was the opening match.
He was going nuts over it.
And I tried to tell him it was the shits, and he's like, well, it wasn't that bad. I mean, we hit the... I'm like, you don't get it. He doesn't get it anymore. He's losing it.
I still like Eddie, but he's one of the first to be like, it was the other guy's fault.
Oh, yeah, always.
It was the other guy's fault.
And he's somebody that has a lot of potential, but he just... He's already developed. And Brandon...
And
what's his last name? Brandon what?
Which one was he?
What's his last name?
Brandon Kirk.
Kirk.
Okay.
Which one was he?
Brandon Kirk or Eddie? Eddie was in the first
Fast
match
Eddie.
With the green and black tights.
He looked like a scholastic wrestler.
He was part of
wrestler.
Fast and Firm. He teamed with
he looks
the,
like,
the nerd guy.
He looks like John Cena if he went through the Holocaust.
Wow. and Fast Eddie does...
If he skipped leg day and arm day and pec day.
And chest day and ab day.
He,
and neck day.
He does listen to the show, though, Fast Eddie.
Okay. Yeah, no, listen,
he does listen to the show, so we're
not
like saying it for him to hear it.
I like him as a person. He's great, but he's all of a sudden... out of nowhere, and I think it's because he travels down to Smoothie's fucking school that he's running every Sunday. He's developing an ego very fucking quickly and won't take any kind of constructive criticism anymore. Mm-hmm. He's quick to blame everybody else, and he just doesn't listen anymore. And he went from somebody that had a lot of potential.
Yeah.
And I hope he changes that quickly. And Brandon Kirk, he's a kid that maybe has potential. He's athletic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who is that again?
Plantain Tits.
He wrestles and he wears like short trunk
shorts
that are like halfway too baggy. So you just see his balls bouncing
NWS.
Around all the time.
NW
wave
styles.
Yeah, new wave styles. He just I don't know. He walks around like he's been doing this for fucking as long as me.
Well, here's the thing. When he came back with Will and Rich, right?
Yeah.
And I said to him, I go, this is your first match, right? And he goes, yes. And I said to him, I go, was this your first match too? And he goes, oh, I've been doing this for a year. I go, I don't know that. You know, I'm like, you know, so
he hasn't been doing
right
it for
there,
a year.
I knew he wasn't. No. Right there, I got that impression from him, what you guys are saying. Right there.
One thing I do want to say, are we going to hold a stop?
He's doing sign language in Spanish.
Oh, okay.
My response would have been, I'm new.
Sure.
I'm new. That's it.
One thing I want to say, and I think this goes back to what Kev said before about Dapper kind of like taking like the fun and the effort out of Sean and him, is when I started working out with them, I feel like Kev was in the ring more with us and so was Sean, and they kind of taught me a little bit more about respect and about locker room etiquette, I guess you would call it. And so I still, you know, shake hands with everybody. If somebody asks me how long I've been working, I don't say this much. I say how many matches, because it's not, you know, if I tell somebody 2.5 years, it's not like I've been doing it every single weekend. You know, it's 40 matches.
That's a good number of matches for 2 years. Probably.
Sure.
2.5 years.
But with a lot of the new people, and like I know I think you've even talked about on the show, if I'm not mistaken, you and Sean kind of got frustrated because you were doing all this work with people who Dapper just saw he could make a quick buck off of, and you guys weren't getting the money out of it.
Snake Eyes?
Sure. And you could tell kind of like where you guys started bowing out because...
Well, there was a transition with guys coming in where I did it, you did it, where we show up, you do the ring crew, you do security, and then you learn. Dapper at a point recently had realized, well, fuck it. If guys are coming in and this is how they're learning, I'm going to start charging them $25 every time they show up.
And I'll even.
So now guys are paying to train, and the guys training them, it certainly fucking isn't Dapper teaching them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why is he getting
first
it?
Off, so Dapper couldn't teach him anything except for being a fucking scumbag con artist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or how to get hit by a dog bowl.
Yeah.
Fucking asshole.
You would rather him charge them nothing.
I think I was the first person to take that dog bowl from you.
You would rather them charge.
And I did it wrong, apparently, according to him.
You would rather him charge them nothing than to charge them $25 and take that money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're going to charge him, at least give a rub to the guys who were actually teaching him.
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah. If you're going to charge them $25, give 10 to fucking Oceans and Havoc.
Yeah. Or just
at least.
Like, reflect it in the pay at the end of the night.
At the least.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
And you could tell where I think it started getting to you guys, because that's when, like, you know, people stop showing respect, they stop helping set the ring up, stop saying hi, you know,
exactly.
All the things you're supposed all to right. do.
Well, one more quick story before we go. I just want to point out how out of touch and how stupid Panzerino was. He, for the longest time, had us using wet floor signs as a weapon on the show, which is fine because in the context of being in a building in a show, a wet floor sign might be there.
It is.
One day he starts showing up with a dog food bowl, a metal dog food bowl, and insisting, you guys need to use this. It has a great sound. It looks good. Use this in a match. And we, like, for three shows straight, we were fighting over it.
Why is there a dog bowl in a church?
For the context of a dog bowl, there's
unless
no
there's
reason.
Unless there's a dog in the ring.
There's no
unless you're doing
reason.
A show at the ASPCA.
There's no reason for a goddamn dog food bowl to be. And he's like, well, look, you can hit somebody. And he hit himself in the head and did, like, this goofy, like, wobbly drunk sell.
Yeah.
And he's like, say it sounds great. It looks great. And I'm like, Joe, you don't realize, in the context of a professional wrestling show, there's no fucking reason a dog bowl should be under the ring.
No.
While you're a heel, you might have put it under
dog.
There before.
It's for Atomic Dog. He left it at ringside.
And then I took the dog bowl that night in Kenilworth.
And because I used two hands to hit him with it, it didn't get the sound Joe wanted, so I did it
wrong.
Tuning
fork thing.
Oh, so your works of shits.
1 year ago, when I worked Hardcore Cannonball, Jeff Cannonball. we had a no DQ hardcore
stick.
Match. No DQ hardcore match. And I had to use the, quote, powder in the eyes gimmick.
Behind the ref's back.
Behind the ref's back. It was absolutely imperative that it be behind the ref's back.
Yeah.
That is
you
the
don't
kind
wanna,
of disconnect.
You don't want
that we
talk to
about.
Get disqualified in
yes.
a no disqualification.
No, it's
this. Because that would be just beyond weird.
It's the intentional counterintuitive booking and production that has gotten to guys like us over the years. We went from being these kids who didn't know any better to being these guys who started noticing it to becoming bitter. And we shouldn't be bitter, you know, like about this kind of stuff.
It's supposed to be fun.
What became bitter is that there's no alternative. It was well, if you don't do it, fine. You're out of here.
See ya.
Rather than him being like understanding that well, what you're doing and what you're saying is fucking dumb. It was just, well, it's my way, so, all right, you're doing it.
My last thing that I want to say, and this is towards Jimmy Storm, and I love Jimmy Storm. He's always been nice and respectful, but he's the ring announcer for the shows now. Just if you're listening, or if somebody's listening that can get the word to him, please just get a real suit.
I was gonna bring that up,
and. If you're going to wear a t-shirt under your see-through button-down shirt, just please don't have words on it like backyard barbecue.
Chubby and dangerous.
Just please.
Kiss
I love you,
chef.
Jimmy. You're a nice guy. We get along. We've got
don't
along
wear
for years.
Under your shirts.
We have years of communication and working relationships. Please just get a real suit.
I'll get it for him.
Matt,
I'm
will
ready
get
to do
it.
I was going
you.
To say that exactly
I
tonight.
Matt, why don't you just start your own fucking federation?
I want to.
I literally think his shirt said something about like a barbecue.
It said
chubby
and chubby dangerous.
And dangerous. No, chubby, naked and dangerous.
Yeah. And you could see it through his see-through yellow button-down shirt that wasn't a suit shirt.
Can I get one more thing?
Sure, go ahead.
Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you,
thank
Nikki.
You,
thank you, Nikki.
Who's that?
Thank you, Nikki.
Oh,
thank
you,
Nikki.
Bro,
I just hit him with the megaphone.
Oh, happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
At least you said megaphone and not microphone.
I know. Both these shows are going to be up.
You do realize we can do this for about another six.
Real quick,
and a half.
I had one thing.
Work in the morning.
I had one thing prepared for Thursday, if this was going up Thursday. Just real quick, 1998. What would be Thursday's date? An oil tanker train collides with freight train.
The wrestler,
spilling fuel oil. One person scavenging the oil drops. Drops a lit cigarette, creating a massive explosion, which kills 120 people.
Dead.
Impossible.
And that was. How would you say that, Matt? Yeonde Cameroon.
Keep talking, because I got to pee.
Yeonde Cameroon. Yeonde Cameroon.
Oh, it was in Cameroon.
Yes.
Which is in Africa.
Yes.
This is, there's
an oil tanker train
still on.
Collided with a freight train spilling oil. The guy tried to steal the oil, dropped a lit cigarette, and blew the place up
and killed millions of people. Now Derek's shitting, and we have a chance to talk real quick.
We have a few more minutes here.
Yeah, we have a few more.
Now that we have a chance to talk.
Bonus crats.
Yeah. Now that Derek let us get a word in edgewise.
Aristocrats after hours.
I had something nice to say.
I like to call it.
Too Rude Radio.
Yes. I just don't want Dapper back.
Yeah. I'm looking you in the eyes, man, and I'm telling you, it's time.
Yeah. Hang it up. Right off into the sunset before you get caught and arrested, because if you keep popping up, Kevin Matthews is gonna have you fucking busted.
And I thank I thank Dapper for everything he ever gave me, but it's sad. He's
overstayed. 16 years ago, if Dapper didn't give us the break, we may not have ever gotten
it's very possible, because we got introduced to a very big company in wrestling at a very young age, and then had to spill back into what we were maybe more prepared for at the time. It was a big jump start.
The honest truth is, the only thing he was ever good at was getting people in the door and getting money away from people.
And he would bury the fuck out of them when he had no more use for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are the Aristocrats.
Aristocratsradio.com is the website.
Aristocrats.
Aristocratsradio.com. CWE radio.com.
And if anybody's listening that normally doesn't listen and they were just tuning in for the radio show, just click like on our Facebook.
Yeah, like us on Facebook.
And listen to Rabblecast.com/Aristocrats Radio.
Please listen to Rabblecast if you like this show, this particular show.
And please follow Hardcore Cannonball, Jeff Cannonball.
At Jeff Cannonball. I work at a psych ward, so a lot of times I'll have tweets about that.
There's something funky in my glass.
Yeah, there's no cracking in it.
The next time, I'm ready for more. If next time we have Jeff on, whether it be tomorrow or 10 years from now, he's got some cool stories from the psych ward.
Real quick.
You know what? I want the psych ward, and I also want that fucking vegan chef.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Mm-hmm. What's the fucking?
We'll talk after. I got yeah.
No, talk okay. Now.
Hey,
Derek.
Kev, what do you got?
Your Walking Dead friends stood you up.
They did.
You're gonna have to watch it tomorrow, faggot.
I invited a bunch of people on Facebook to come and watch Walking Dead, and nobody showed up. And I'm very I forgot to send it. fuck! I had it open. I forgot to send it.
My iMessage went down.
All right. So to all my friends who were supposed to come over and watch Walking Dead, I'm sorry I didn't send the invite. I'm gonna send it now. I think they're replaying it through the night.
I'm going home to a DVR'd episode of.
I'm actually surprised that we've gone so long. How long is this second hour? Or
well
we're
over
2 hours.
Hour. Yeah,
2 hours for the fucking Thursday show.
It's not a Thursday show. It's a Monday companion.
Hour 45 or something.
We're at 3:15 for the whole thing.
Oh, so it's 2 hours then. Yeah.
I'm just gonna put them both up. Like I said.
The thing that amazes me is that we've had the most people we've had in the chat room.
Yeah.
And it's been like the longest show on earth.
37.
And this
37 people listen?
Total.
And I'm not usually on the show, and they should all do what I do and subscribe on iTunes so it goes right to your computer.
Well, the only reason they listen is because you were here.
Hey, that's not true. Have you tagged up your college town yet with the business cards and bumper stickers I gave you?
My college town?
Yeah.
Oh, no, not yet.
You know what, Jeff Cannonball? You bring up a good point. If you have an iDevice, whether it be an iPad, iTouch, or an iPhone.
Even if you're just on the iTunes.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Or even if you just go on iTunes. Subscribe to the show. If you have an iDevice and you have the newest 6.0 something or other, you can download the podcast app.
There is a podcast app.
Yes,
I have
and
it.
You can subscribe
I've
to
got
the Aristocrats.
All my favorite podcasts sent right to me right when they're posted.
Every time we post a show, your phone will automatically download our show.
It's there.
And you can listen to every show we do.
It's there. And if you don't see the new one, you drag the screen down, it refreshes, it pops right
refresh
up.
Refresh it. Matt looks just so befuddled
Can I get this for my iRobot?
Sure.
You can. You just have to stick your finger in your iRobot's ass and drag it down.
Anything that has an I in front of it.
Yes.
Lowercase I.
But no, seriously, aristocratsradio.com, CWERadio.com. We stream every Sunday night. It is Sunday night right now. I'm going to post both these shows up tomorrow because they're two very completely different shows. Mm.
Two Rude Dudes on Facebook.
UMK Shock.
UMK Shock.
For
at two Rude Dudes on Facebook.
At AKA Too Rude on Twitter.
And Mr. Jeff Cannonball.
And Instagram.
What do you have?
At Jeff Cannonball.
At Jeff Cannonball. And
let's throw one out for JD, Functified Entertainment on Facebook.
And let's throw one out.
FWF Wrestling on Twitter.
Now, how about your manly manager that you had?
Come on.
Wow.
I'm Daisy's just going off of what
love the, Daisy.
The crowd said.
Love the Daisy.
I told her that she should do a drag queen gimmick. Like a girl doing it. No, I said you should do.
Good night, everybody.
You know what? Real quick, we took a big dive spot from Danny D'Amato.
Yeah.
Who I think he's tipping his scales at about 3,000 or 4,000 pounds.
3,000 or 4,000.
And the people that were taking were me, Nikki Oceans, and Corey Havoc. Uh-huh. We're taking a dive from Danny, who was doing a front flip over the ropes. So I wanted to get Crazy Daisy involved to add a fourth person,
but
she's pregnant.
Wow!
So that would have been 5 people catching him. So that probably could have worked better.
Mrs. Former Conti is pregnant.
Wow.
Congratulations, Crazy Daisy.
Yeah. Love you.
And apparently the baby likes me because I talked when she was at ringside and it did a front flip in her
back. At Daisy_murder on Twitter.
Yeah.
And if your father needs a rhythm guitar or bass player, let me know.
At Nikki Oceans on Twitter.
At Nikki Oceans.
At RTF.
Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you, Nikki.
At RTF Wrestling on Twitter.
Thank you for all the wrestling. As far as the radio, not so much.
Oh.
Good night.